God's Word. Go with me to the book of Judges, chapter number 11, as we dive back into the Old Testament. Judges chapter number 11 is where we're going to look for just a little bit tonight, and I'm going to probably go back to chapter number 2 for just a moment as well, and I don't think we'll be real lengthy, but I do want to give you what the Lord has placed on our heart for this hour, and I trust it'll be a help and a blessing and encouragement to you. I don't know what everybody faces from day to day, and you don't know what I face from day to day, but we all face things, and we deal with things, but I'm glad God's faithful, and He's aware of it. He knows what's going to happen before it even does, and He's still good, regardless of whatever we deal with. And Judges chapter number 11 is where we're going to take our text, and then we'll end up in chapter number 2, but the message will be birthed right here out of chapter number 11 of the book of Judges, and that's where we're going to look tonight with the help of the Lord. Notice in Judges chapter 11 and verse number 1, notice what the Bible said. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. It came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not we ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when you're in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now let's pray. Father, as we bow in your presence, God, again tonight, Lord, I'm thankful for the songs we just sung. Lord, I'm glad that Jesus, Lord, what a precious name that is. Thankful is still the blood. Now, thank you for your word. Now, God, as we set this time aside on a Wednesday evening to come in to worship you and to learn from your word, some principles I hope that will be beneficial and helpful not only to me but to every person here. I pray, God, you'd help us to glean some things from the word of God tonight. Help us to remove every hindrance and distraction, anything that we're thinking about now, Lord. I pray that you'd put a holy hush over this place. And God, I ask that you'd minister to hearts, Lord, as only you can. Encourage somebody that needs encouragement. Above all, if there's one listening, unsaved, realize it's Wednesday night. Lord, a lot of folks listen on the Facebook and the live stream and the telephone. Lord, if they're not saved, I pray, God, be the night, Lord, you deal with them in conviction. God, help them see their need of a Savior while there's time and opportunity. Now, help this feeble preacher now to decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lift up. Help me, Lord, to articulate the message of the hour. Please help us, Lord, if you don't, it'll be all in vain. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you thanks, to give you praise for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people see him. Amen. Well, tonight, Judges chapter number 11, these few verses that we, have read, first 11 verses, as a matter of fact, out of Judges chapter number 11. Judges is a very interesting book. You think about the children of Israel, as Israel had entered and possessed the land of Canaan, Joshua has died. And since that point, the people had really no national leader at all. Now, it's pretty much defined, the book of Judges, in one verse, Judges 17 and verse number 6. This is sort of, this is like a nutshell, everything together, that sums up the book of Judges, Judges 17, 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's about the way that things went in the book of Judges. I've often said this. I remember preaching on Nehemiah when we were going through that. Everything sort of rises and falls on truth, and also everything rises and falls on leadership. You got good leadership, man, and things are well. You got bad leadership, well, we don't have to look too far to see where we are today. And again, leadership is great, but it can be bad as well. And they didn't have a leader. They didn't have anybody since Joshua's death. And everybody just done what was right in their own eyes. Boy, there's a lot of similarities to that today too, ain't they? I believe all of us could shake our head, yeah, man, women doing just pretty much whatever they want to do. But that's pretty much how things were during the day of the judges. In Judges chapter number 2, listen to this. This gives another background. This is sort of how things went. In Judges chapter number 2, and then I'm coming back to chapter 11, but Judges 2, verse number 10, the Bible said, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. That crowd had seen and witnessed the mighty hand of God at work during the days of Joshua. They're dead now, and another generation rises up, and they don't know the Lord. And verse 11 said of Judges 2, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtoreth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And you could go on and see basically what's going on. The people of God have rebelled and they've served other gods. They don't have any leadership. Joshua's dead. The generations come along that don't know the Lord. And they're worshiping the little g gods, anything and everything under the sun. That's what they're worshiping. And it brought wrath upon them. And what God did, he chose a heathen nation. Sometimes it was the Midianites. Sometimes it was the Philistines. Sometimes it was the Ammonites that would oppress the people. God would use that heathen nation to oppress the people. And they would go through that, Brother Randy, for a certain length of time. And then they'd finally cry out to God and say, God, help us. And God would raise up a deliverer. He would raise up a judge. He'd raise up a military power for them. And they would come in. And as long as that military leader was alive, the people followed the Lord. But just as soon as that deliverer died, guess what? History repeated itself. They'd go back to worshiping other gods. They'd fall right back in that same hole, and they'd live under years of oppression. And then finally, they'd come to themselves like the prodigal son did over there in that far country, and they'd cry out to God, and God would send a deliverer. And then just a continual pattern as you go through the book of Judges. God's raised up, as a matter of fact, 12 military reformers to rescue Israel from the oppressing nations. Again, sometimes it was the Ammonites, sometimes it was the Midianites, sometimes it was all these and the Philistines that would come in and oppress the people. God took 12 military leaders and used them, and you'll find it. The first one was a fellow by the name of Othniel. Now, the people had lived under 8 years of oppression. And when he became the military leader of that day, they had 40 years of peace, and then he died. And then there was another fellow that came along after him. The fellow's name was Ehud. After 18 years of oppression to a foreign nation, the people cried out to God, and then they experienced 80 years of peace at the hand of Ehud. After that, there was Shamgar. Most of you may be familiar with Shamgar. He's the one that killed 600 with that ox's goad of the Philistines, and he killed 600 of the enemy. Then there was Barak, and 20 years of oppression. Prior to him, people cried out to God, and during his days, they had 40 years of peace. Then there was Gideon. Judges chapter number 7, man, little as much when God's in it, there's a message in that too. God took a little old coward by the name of Gideon that was hiding down by the wine press, and that angel of the Lord came and said, oh, you mighty man of valor. That's why I say God's got a sense of humor, because he wasn't a mighty man of valor, but God used a coward. If God could use a coward, he can use me, he can use Jephthah, and he can use you, he can use Othniel and Ehud, all this crowd hearing the word of God. But they have been living under 7 years of oppression to the Midianites, and then Gideon started his reign there as judge and as military leader, and they faced 40 years of peace. Then there was Tola. They had 23 years of peace. Then there was a fellow by the name of Jair, however you want to say it, J-A-I-R. They had 22 years of peace. Then we get to Jephthah. After 18 years of oppression, he come on the scene and had 6 years of peace. You go on down to Ibzan, I-B-Z-A-N. There was 7 years of peace under his leadership. Then Elon, there's 10 years of peace. Abdon, A-B-D-O-N, 8 years of peace. And then Samson, they had 40 years of oppression before he came on the scene. But then during his days, they had 20 years of peace. But tonight, we're looking at a fellow by the name of Jephthah. Now, you could go on at the end of this chapter, Judges chapter number 11, and it didn't do real well. Jephthah wanted to know, he said, God, and I'm paraphrasing, you can look it up. He said, God, I want to know, are you going to give the Ammonites into my hand? And the Lord said, yes, sure will. And Jephthah made a rash vow. He said, Lord, if you give me victory, when I come back home, the first thing I see that comes through the door, I'm going to offer as a sacrifice. Well, God gave him the victory. When he came back, that little darling daughter of his came through the door. And as she did, he had to keep his word. And his daughter was offered as a sacrifice because of his rash vows. You know, the Bible says something of what is about our words, let our words be few. And boy, we better not be hasty in a vow. Of course, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 lets us know that if we vow to do something, we better do it. If we say we're going to pay somebody, we better pay somebody. If we say we're going to do something, we better do something. Why? Because it's better to not to vow it than to vow it and to not do it. That's what God says. But here, old Jephthah, it didn't end too well for him. But at the beginning We look at this fellow. If I could preach on a thought tonight, Brother Jamie, it'd simply be the underdog. We would consider Jephthah an underdog. You say, well, what is an underdog? A lot of times in sports, maybe the weakest link, you say, and then they go on and win something, and you say, well, man, they're an underdog. Well, Jephthah, I guess he could fit all of these descriptions of the underdog when you look at this, and that's why it's very important. Listen to me, and listen to me well. We better be careful how we treat folks. Those that might be less fortunate than we are. Those that might not have arrived yet like we have. Come on now. Those that might not dress like us or don't have the same economical background as we do. Don't have as nice of clothes as we do. Maybe don't come out of the greatest family environment. Don't look down on that crowd. That might be that crowd that's going to be leading you at some point or the other. Amen. You better understand that. We're going to look tonight at this eighth military leader that God raised up during these days. Jephthah, he had to overcome many things, and many things we can gather from this text in a few short verses. Well, what did he have to overcome, preacher? Why would you say that he is an underdog? Because you may feel like, well, you know, I'm not really that significant. I really can't do a whole lot. But yet we can all do something for God. And this is a proven fact. God's not done with any of us. You say, well, preacher, that's a bold statement. No, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. How do you know God's not done with us? If he was done with us, we wouldn't be here. We're still here. There's a task. There's a purpose. There's a calling for all of us. And understand, God can take the weak things to confound the things that are mighty. That's what the New Testament says in the book of Corinthians. And I think it's a photocopy of Jephthah and his ministry here in Judges chapter number 11. What did he have to overcome? Well, notice, first of all, he had to overcome some ridicule. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, Judges 11 and verse number 1, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. So the first words on that. I mean, he's a mighty man of valor. But I tell you what trumps that as we read on. And he was the son of an harlot. You see, old Jephthah, he had to face some ridicule because he was the son of a harlot. You'll read in verse number 2 that his daddy and his wife had other children, but his wife was not, that was not Jephthah's mama. And he had to deal with this ridicule all of his life. As a matter of fact, he was banished. They sent him away, didn't want him around, didn't want him to have any of the inheritance. They looked at him, Brother Harold, as a second-class citizen. That's the way they looked at him. He faced that ridicule. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ faced that same crowd. You remember when they ridiculed and said, we be not born of corruption. What they were saying was they thought that Mary had a relationship because they couldn't understand the principle of the virgin birth. No, Jesus came through the lineage of the Virgin Mary, but he still faced ridicule as well, much like Jephthah did. But think about this. Not only did he face ridicule, but he also faced removal. Again, he was banished. Look in verse number 2. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Man, he's facing ridicule. He's facing a removal. Now think about this. He couldn't control where he was born. A lot of the kids that you may see running in out of here, they had no control out of where they were born. Some of them may face some ridicule. Some of them may face some removal. But all this guy has ever known, at some point or another, he's turned, according to verse number 1, he's a mighty man of valor now. He's removed from his own house. The table where he used to sit at and eat, Brother Harold. The bed where he used to sleep. Chair where he used to sit at. Now he's gone. He didn't do anything wrong. Wasn't his fault. But he faced ridicule. Now think about it. We're talking about the underdog. Now, I mean, he beat all the odds. He's faced ridicule. He's faced removal from his own, from within. His own family has turned against him. His half-brothers have said, hey, we don't want you here. He's faced ridicule. He's faced removal. Faced rejection. They said, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house. What they were saying is, that's not your father. This is our house. It's not your house, Jeff. This is our house, our father's house, not yours. So they faced this. He faced ridicule, removal, and rejection. He also faced some resentment. Because that last phrase, verse number 2, said, thou art the son of a strange woman. They wouldn't even attribute to him being blood, their half-brother. Said, no, he faced resentment because thou art the son of a strange woman. Now, keep in mind the cycle of the book of Judges. God raises up unlikely heroes, unlikely people from unlikely families, from unlikely places to come in and to deliver the people of God. You think about Jephthah. Jephthah's half-brothers, they've burnt the bridge that would eventually deliver them. We've already read the text. Jephthah's the one that's going to rise up to be this military leader, and they're going to have 6 years of peace. We already know the end of the story, but when he was getting kicked out, facing resentment and facing ridicule and removal and rejection, they were burning the bridge to the one that was going to rescue them down the road. Jephthah to them, to his brothers, to his family, and even the townspeople, according to the Word of God, Jephthah to them was unwanted. He was useless. He was exiled. He was despised, and he was even hated. And boy, you got to be careful when you look around and you look at folks. That might be the very one that can help us down the road. Something to chew on, something to think about. And we're talking about here the underdog, those that beat all the odds, and we've got some that I believe is going to beat the odds as they grow up and they get older. But you think about this. Think about how Jesus was despised and rejected. Isaiah 53 lays that out, perfectly. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows he's referred to, but the very one they rejected laid down his life so whosoever will, even the ones that crucified him, could be saved. But here's old Jephthah, and he's the underdog, and he's faced this ridicule. He's faced this removal, this rejection, and this resentment. And you say, when a preacher, what can we learn from the example of Jephthah? He didn't come from the perfect environment. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth, if you will. What can we learn about that? Well, let's just put it this way. When it comes to Jephthah, we know that he became that military leader, again, that led the people of God to 6 years of peace. We could say this, don't let your background define you. That's what we can learn. Don't just sit back and say, well, I grew up in a bad environment, a bad home. I faced ridicule. I faced resentment. I even got kicked out. I faced removal, this, that, and the other. He was kicked out of his own house. But he didn't let his background define him. He moved on. I reiterate again, folks cannot control where they're born. They can't. In the environment, it breaks my heart, man, some of the things that people have to deal with, the people had to put up with. I'm talking about within the home setting and children. And it's sad because it's out of my hands, it's out of your hands. But they had no control over where they were being born. But a lot of folks fall into this cycle. And it seemed like we haven't, I hate to put it that, but sort of like repeat offenders. It seemed like, this generation is like this way, and the next generation is the same way. Next generation, nobody rises above and gets out of that mess. And I don't have to go into details, I think, for y'all to understand what I'm saying. I mean, you go into a home, and we've done it numerous times, where the kids need diapers, the kids need formula, and you go in, and they say, we don't have anything, and yet they've got beer in there, and they got liquor, and they're smoking cigarettes, and it's not that they don't have the resources, they're putting it in the wrong place. But that little baby has nothing to do with that. But that little baby has to grow up in that mess. But the sad reality is, a lot of times that baby grows up to have the same mentality, Brother Howard, as that mom and dad. Because they've learned firsthand. But thank God there are some that break that cycle. But understand, don't let your background define you. Okay, Jephthah was the son of a harlot. Well, he couldn't do anything about that. And he didn't let his background define him, because later on he becomes that military leader there for Israel. So again, God can raise up deliverer from unlikely places and unlikely families. Think about this. Think about when Jesus came, and you remember Nazareth. Nazareth, and I preached a message on that one time at some point or the other. Nazareth had a very bad reputation. If you'll remember when Andrew told his brother Philip, he said, "Philip, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." You remember what he said? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Why would he have said that? Because it had a bad name. It had a bad vibe coming out of there. And there are certain people, there are certain names that said, "Well, man, they'll never amount to anything. They'll never." And again, I'm telling you, with that attitude, you may never will, but I'm telling you, I know God that can still change lives, that can still save sinners, can still break that cycle in an individual's life, but God can still raise up unlikely deliverers from certain families and certain situations, because God can do whatever He desires to do. And God is in the business of using broken people. That's all He's got to work with. And here he is. Don't let your background define you. If old Jeff had sucked on his thumb and said, "Well, I got kicked out of the house, and man, everybody's resenting me. I don't have an inheritance, and I'm the son of a harlot," he'd have never amounted to anything. But he didn't let his background define him. He went on to the land of Tob and flourished. Became a mighty man of valor, according to verse number 1. And we understand the Ammonites have invaded his people. And the old Gileadites, they came up and they wanted him on their team. And at the time, he's like, "Man, why you want me now? Why you come to me now when you're in distress?" That's why we've got to be careful not to burn those bridges. We might have to go to folks down the road that can help us down the line. Amen. But don't let your background define you. But can I say number 2, the second thing we can learn from Jephthah being the underdog, don't let your background define you. But number 2, don't let your burdens discourage you. Chew on that a little bit. First, it might not have hit you, but this one might. Say, "Well, man, I don't really have that bad background," but don't let your background define you. But number 2, don't let those burdens discourage you. No doubt he faced some burdens. I mean, he got kicked out of his own house, place where he used to sleep, place where he used to eat, place where he used to play as a kid. He got kicked out of his house. But he didn't let those burdens discourage him. Notice in verse number 4 of what it said, as we read on down. Well, let's read verse 3 again. "Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him." Now the Bible said in verse 4, "And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel." What's that process of time? I have no idea. But I don't think it was a day. I don't think it was a week. I don't think it was a year. I think it was several. I think several years have elapsed from the time he's run off from his home. He's over there in the land of Tob, but he didn't let his burdens discourage him, because he's been in exile from his father's house for many, many years. You know what I've noticed, even as believers? Now listen, I'm glad you, thank God your sins are forgiven, but you still have burdens. You with me? Your burden may be different than my burden, but we all got burdens. I mean, you might say, it's like somebody, "Well, I'm going for minor surgery." It's not minor to them, it's major to them. We got different burdens, we got different things we share, and the Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens. But here, he didn't let his burden discourage him in the land of Tob. In the process of time, all that time has elapsed. And again, he might not have understood what was going on, but he just went on. He became a mighty man of valor. You and I have got to press on. There's some things you can't change. A lot of folks say, "Preacher, man, you need to change so-and-so." Are you kidding? I mean, come on. I don't have some hocus-pocus wand where I can tap people. I ain't no Benny Hinn, hairspray man, fall out, tap you on the head. I hope he ain't your hero. God bless your heart if he is. I can just say that. Now, you think about it. I don't have that power. No man does. You say, "Well, man, I wish such do better. That just burdens me." Well, let's don't let those burdens discourage you. You got to move on. You remember old Amasa? Amasa, I'm pretty sure, was the one that got stuck. Joab hammered him, if I remember correctly. The Bible said he wallowed in blood. He wallowed in blood. Now the whole army of God's going after the son of Bichri. They're going after David, the one that cursed against David, said, "We're not going to have this man reign." They went after him. And here old Amasa was, and I hope I ain't got that wrong, but Amasa was going up through there, and Joab stuck him, and he wallowed in blood. And the whole Bible said the whole army stopped. And the Bible said he wallowed in blood, Brother Randy. But if somebody had enough God on him to get him, cover him up, and drag him out of the side of the road, and when they got him out of the road, the Bible said the army went on. There's going to be casualties. Listen to me now. I wasn't going to, that's why I wasn't up to speed on it. I'm pretty sure that was Amasa, but if I'm wrong, I apologize. But when you think about this, there's going to be casualties along the way. Don't let that discourage you. I say this sometimes, if Daddy come up one day and said, "You know what, I'm done serving the Lord," that would break my heart, but that's no excuse for me to quit. Amen. If Brother Keith Jones says, "You know what, I'm just not going to serve the Lord anymore," Brother Brandon's got to keep on. Brother Carson, you come up one day and say, "Man, I'm done serving the Lord." Brother Allen, you got to move on. You can't let those burdens discourage you and stay in that same shape, man. You got to pursue. He overcome all of these obstacles. He's heard it his whole life. "Oh, yeah, you're the son of a harlot. You're not getting any of this inheritance, man. We want you out of here." Got kicked out. He didn't let his background define him. He didn't let his burdens discourage him. He pursued, became a mighty man of valor. But notice his third thing, and we're done. Three things I think we can learn from this. Don't let your background define you. Don't let your burdens discourage you. But number three, don't let your bitterness defile you. Chew on that now. Don't let your bitterness defile you. What are you talking about, preacher? If there was a man that had a right to be bitter, Brother Harold, we'd have said, "Man, that's Jephthah. That's Jephthah. He's hurt his whole life. His mama's a harlot. He knows that. He don't have an inheritance. His family don't want him. The town don't want him. The Gileadites don't want him. He's had to go all the way and flee to the land of Tob." He had every right, I guess we could say, from a human perspective, man, he should have been bitter to him. Man, he should have been bitter. But you know, bitterness will defile you. And he did not let his background define him. He did not let the burdens discourage him. And he sure didn't let bitterness defile him. Why? Because he did sort of make a smugnant remark when they came to him. And he said, "Well, hey, why you come to me now while you're in this distress?" But if he had let bitterness defile him, he wouldn't even have given him a listening ear. Not at all. Well, we know that he went with them. And of course, there was some demands. He wanted to be the leader. And of course, he ended up being that military leader. But getting to this point, he overcome all of those obstacles. Jephthah, would have been right from the human perspective, from the way we think and the way we feel fleshly. They come up and said, "Hey, Jephthah, the Ammonites have oppressed the land. We sure do need your help." I guess Jephthah, from fleshly terms, would have had every right to say, "Man, you're on your own." Amen. To have that fleshly, "You're on your own. You didn't want me. You coming to me now?" If bitterness was defiling him, he'd have said, "Hey, you're on your own, buddy. I ain't coming." But he didn't do that. He's been exiled. He's been treated wrong. He's been resented. He's been removed. He's faced ridicule, all that stuff he's overcome, but not one time did he let his background define him. He didn't let his burden discourage him. He didn't let bitterness defile him. I think about the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse number 14. It said, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Did you know if you get bitter with somebody, there's no way God can even speak to you? Amen. I mean, you're not going to see the Lord. You're not going to see Him working. You're not going to feel the Lord working. He's not going to speak to you. You're going to read your Bible, and it's going to be like zipper tight. You got bitterness. Why? The Bible lets us know. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, listen now, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, a lot of folks say, "Well, you know, I can I've got some bitterness towards somebody, maybe family, maybe friend, maybe somebody else, a co-worker, maybe somebody even in the church. Man, don't tell me that don't go on, because it does. People get bitter. I tell you one thing, it'll hinder revival quicker than anything. Let one person get bitter against somebody else in the church and God can't move. Amen. Unless they're out that day. Amen. It's just a fact. Can't move like that. Because it's restricted and it's restrictive. Because notice what the Bible said. It said, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A lot of folks say, well, I'm bitter and it's just I ain't hurt nobody but myself. That's a lie. When people get bitter, it rubs off on others. It sure does. Not only are you defiled, but it defiles others with that spirit of bitterness. But Jephthah didn't have that. Oh, yeah, I think he drove one in deep there when he said, now you come to me in distress. And he's a little sarcastic, no doubt, when they come after they treated him. But he did not let his background define him. He didn't let his burdens discourage him. He did not let bitterness defile him. You know, God used Judge Jephthah, Sister Savannah's coming, the underdog to deliver Israel. 6 years they faced peace. But this was the unlikeliest of candidates if you stopped in verse number 2. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 again. Verse 1 said, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was a son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah, said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. We cut off right there. We said, well, man, that sure don't sound like somebody God's going to use to deliver his people. Yet that's exactly who God used. How is that, preacher? Well, I think we can gather this. He didn't let his background define him. He didn't let his burdens discourage him. And he certainly didn't let bitterness defile him. You know, you and I as children of God, God still wants to use you. Some of you may be still searching for that niche, whatever God wants you to do. All I can tell you is this. God wants to use you, whether you're young or whether you're old. I go back to what Louise told me that night. She came up and said she wanted to join a church. She said, preacher, I can't. She said, I can't offer a whole lot. She said, but I can be a prayer warrior. Hey, we need prayer warriors. Hey, amen. We can all do something. She said, man, I don't have the strength I once had. I don't have the intellectual capability to do what I'd like to do. I don't have the singing capability to do. I don't have the teaching capability. I don't have this, don't have that. Yet you got something you can do for the Lord. But you can't let that background define you. Don't do that. Don't let those burdens discourage you. And man, don't let bitterness defile you. As we stand all over the house, let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to stand one more time, preach your word. God, I thank you for the example of Jephthah, the things he overcome, being the underdog. Lord, there's been many in my path didn't let their background define them. Many in my path didn't let the burdens discourage them. In my path didn't let that bitterness, Lord, defile them. God, help us to be more like that. God, help us to be usable, useful. God, help us to understand it's not our ability you're interested in, but our availability. Pray that you'd use folks. God, help us to remain faithful in dark and difficult and discouraging days. Lord, we'll be careful to give you thanks and give you praise for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for a few moments tonight. Sister Savannah going to sing a little bit of that if she can. We ain't going to drag out an invitation long. You need some help, you better come on. May feel insignificant tonight. Maybe dealing with bitterness. Maybe dealing with burdens. Maybe dealing with other things. Let God help you tonight.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Well, that's a song I sung the night I got saved.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. no turning
that
back.
That night I got saved, man. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.